We're talking today with Tom Buchanan, the president of the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Tom, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, maybe 2016 a little bit. Challenging year for Oklahoma agriculture for a variety of reasons, whether it's low prices or the challenge of right to farm. It was not the easiest of years.
In the rearview mirror, 16 certainly had some challenges, absolutely did. I would tell you overall, though, it was a good year production-wise. Yields were up kind of across the state regardless of commodity. There's always some areas that have some problems, but overall production was up, a good production year. As you mentioned, though, the markets didn't treat us real well. I would want to talk to your listeners or at least let them know one of the surprises I've seen in this last year was the rebuilding of our cow herd. Remember, the drought we went through truly decimated that cow herd in Oklahoma's across the nation, and it has rebounded or is in the rebound mode and happening much faster than I really thought it would. So that's a real positive note for us, absolutely. The 16 again showed us some of the challenges that we will face moving forward, and that's continuing to educate and discuss with our fellow Oklahomans about who we are and what we do and why what we do is good for them. So I don't know that that will ever go away and probably never should. We should continue to be front and center talking to fellow Oklahomans about Oklahoma's family farmers and ranchers.
I guess one of the thankful areas for 2016 from your part of the world, cotton crops have been phenomenal.
It absolutely has, Ron. We have actually, it's in the wrap-up mode now. Harvest is in far southwest Oklahoma. A great, great crop. Many of those gins down there will gin a record number of bales. So that is a very bright spot. Again, cotton is one of those commodities that's a little bit depressed in price, but we've got a good yield coming in, a good quality product. Pretty happy out there and good harvest weather, too.
And obviously, it's a good cash crop for that part of the state.
It absolutely is. In fact, the guessing looking forward into 17 from that standpoint, Western Oklahoma is a large winter wheat area, and those acres have been planted. But I also hear a lot of producers talking about with the depressed wheat market, quite possibly moving those acres into a summer crop being dry land cotton next year. So the acres could explode across western Oklahoma for cotton.
Let's talk a little bit about 17, if we might. Already you've kind of had your roadmap from a legislative point of view laid out by delegates at the recent State Convention of Farm Bureau. What are some priorities as you've had a chance to study the resolutions? The kind of the intent of the delegates, what are you seeing right now that will be worked on in 17?
Ron, I would say that it's really a continuation of what our base always is, which is those private property rights. That's allowing family farmers and ranchers to use their land to be able to produce the products that they believe that are best suited for their production practices. There's certainly taxation issues that are always there, the ad valorem tax issue that's coming on. So it's really our standards continuing to move forward and kind of evolve and work on those. But I would tell you that some not priority items from the standpoint of we have specifically said we're going to fix this, but more from a broader standpoint that really is bubbling up in all discussions and even in our policy book is education and medical care in rural Oklahoma. Those are issues that are beginning to impact quality of life and daily life in rural Oklahoma, especially in western Oklahoma where our population's getting small. We see it being very, very difficult to attract and then keep teachers, especially those upper-level math and science teachers. We are beginning to see now the impact that that has to the education of our kids and Oklahoma kids, just not having access to those programs that they need at the right time. So we see that as a very critical issue. Healthcare is the same thing, just change a few of the words. But again, it is very difficult now to attract and keep medical doctors in rural Oklahoma. And it is becoming extremely concerning that adequate care is not available on an as-need basis. It's more of one of those things where we better be planning a trip to Oklahoma City or Tulsa to come up where that's there. And while I mentioned that being quality of life, it certainly is. But without education and healthcare, I hope that we don't start a downward spiral that we can't stop. Now, I don't want to sound all pessimistic. Every problem has a solution, and we will be there working and helping achieve the solution to those problems.
Water's always been on the minds of Farm Bureau members. You've always had policy in that regards. What's this water agreement that's been now validated by the federal infrastructure bill, the WIN Act? What does it really mean for Oklahoma?
You're right, Ron. Water is extremely important to Oklahoma Farm Bureau members. it's important to every farmer and rancher across the state, as it should be to every Oklahoman. Water is one of those natural resources that I hope we didn't ever take for granted in Oklahoma, and that we continue to develop so that all Oklahomans benefit. And the agreement that you referred to between the tribes and the state and the city of Oklahoma City that has been agreed upon, negotiated, and all of those parties signed and agreed to, and now the federal government has stamped their approval on that. So that is really a, pardon the pun, a watershed moment for the state of Oklahoma. It gives us a roadmap moving forward as how tribal governments and state governments can operate, and we have shown real success at doing that. All of those parties were very competent when they came to the table, evidently, and had voiced their needs and concerns, but did come up with an agreement. For the everyday Oklahoman, what I would want them to know out of this agreement is that the way that landowners were accessing and using water prior to the agreement is exactly the same after the agreement, regardless of where they are. Across the state of Oklahoma, landowners' rights to water and the ability to use that as defined by state law were protected across the board. I was very pleased with that. I was very proud that the Oklahomans at the table from all four of those entities looked out for landowner needs and rights in that process.
What else needs to be done to try to solve some of our water issues in the state?
Again, it's development of water. Now, that's a very broad term. Oklahoma is extremely water-rich. It's just not spread across the state, and it's not there 365 days throughout a year. So it's really looking at plugging those gaps. When do we not have enough water? How do we plug that gap? And where do we not have enough water? Even in western Oklahoma, where I'm from, your listening audience may know and may not, I'm from far southwest Oklahoma, where water is a very unique issue at times. We'll run completely dry at times. There are water sources out there that we're not using today because of a quality issue. So continuing to use modern technology, new technologies, existing technology to clean water up to where that it can be usable is one thing that we can do that we need to focus more on. And then just, again, going back to our basis and understanding of how we develop water, build lakes, store water, move water from point A to point B. Allow all Oklahomans to benefit in whatever that is. Is that municipal needs? Is that agriculture needs? Is that industrial needs? Is that the environmental needs and recreation needs? Those are true components of what Oklahoma is and Oklahoma needs. All water needs to be able to fulfill those needs for all Oklahomans.
An issue that talked a lot about the last couple of years, and you'll, I know, talk about it again in 17, feral hogs, wild hogs. We've got obviously some things going on by the governor and some of her agencies, but still, there, I know this is a huge worry of a lot of landowners.
It absolutely is, and for Oklahoma family farmers and ranchers, this is an issue that has reached an epidemic proportions. It is causing enormous financial damage to crops, to land, to infrastructure, to fences. It has outgrown the problem of just being a nuisance and a pest. It is truly that invasive species that is causing gigantic financial property damage. This needs to be addressed. Our members are adamant that we need to work with every agency, with every opportunity to eradicate this problem. It's the same thing we've done with the boll weevil that impacted cotton. We have functionally eradicated the boll weevil, so these things can be done, but it does need to be treated. The feral hog needs to be treated for what it is. And that's an invasive species. It's not a wildlife issue to be maintained like that. It's an invasive species that we all need to put our minds together and control. Yes, we are making progress across the state. The governor put together a task force, so to speak, to look at that, that involved certainly the Secretary of Agriculture and the Wildlife Department and then other Oklahomans. We are making progress, and that still have a long ways to go. If there's a bright spot in this terrible problem, it is that it's not unique to Oklahoma. The feral hog issue has spread across the southern tier of the states and is reaching north. Mm-hmm. So we are all looking for the solutions, and hopefully we'll find one in the near future.
Right. Finally, budget. We're hearing ominous numbers.
Yes.
for state government for 2017 as they look ahead to that 2018 fiscal year budget that starts the mid-year and first of July. What's that going to do to the legislative session, you think?
Well, the first thing I would add to that is it doesn't appear to be as bad as last year. So that's a little bit of a bright spot. But at the same time, I certainly feel for a great friend of mine, Senator Mike Schultz, the incoming president pro tem of the state Senate, who is going to have his hands full along with the Speaker of the House, Charles McCall, from the Atoka area, as how they move this state forward in deficit times. I have confidence in both of those gentlemen being able to do that. It will require all of us as Oklahomans to kind of pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and be a part of this process. We all got to tighten the belt and get through it. But I do believe we're beginning to see the improvement from last year to this year, and hopefully the coming year will even be better. Are there better ways to do things? Absolutely. Always is. Is it a revenue problem? Is it a spending problem? We're going to work it out. Oklahoma Farm Bureau will be there through that entire process. If it's education, if it's feral hogs, if it's private property rights, if it's a property tax issue, we'll be there working with that legislative body to come up with solutions that are best suited for our members.
One thing may be on the table. They're talking about all these sales tax exemptions being on the table. Ag has a big interest in making sure that the ag sales tax exemption is maintained.
Absolutely. Ag enjoys some sales tax exemptions. We certainly do. What I would add to that is that we don't have an end product that we're selling. So it's not like that we produce a crop that we sell immediately to the consumers. All of ours are really passed through that somebody else has to go through. So that's why I believe those sales tax exemptions are important to us to keep that industry, so to speak, vibrant and moving forward. Let's remember now, Oklahoma is a very agrarian state. While the majority of us live in the two metro areas, we're still a giant state with a lot of rural area, and agriculture is big. Agriculture is what brought Oklahoma where she is, and agriculture will keep moving her into the future. Is oil and gas big in Oklahoma? Sure it is. But agriculture is the backbone, is the basis of our economy, and we need to continue to allow agriculture to be vibrant and grow. And if that's a sales tax issue, if that's a property tax issue, whatever that is, we need to keep in mind, let's don't cut our nose off to spite our face.